Well, hello. Hi, my name is Sienna Gold, and this is Down to Earth. We are on once a month at the third Monday of the month at noon. Well, right after this, the news. And I'm here with Pam.
Hello.
And Rebecca.
Why? Hello.
and the mystery engineer we do not talk about. I hope all is well. We've got rain today. Yikes.
Yes. Great.
Yeah, I know.
It's great having rain.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing for us these days.
It's like legit rain.
I know, it is. It's a good, and you get the breaks in between, which I like, which we're in right this second. Anyway, we have kind of an interesting subject today. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm going to do something a little different rather than announce it myself. Pam came up with this idea, so she didn't know I was going to do this. So, Pam, if you could briefly tell us what your idea was.
My idea is basically, how do we see ourselves when we get up in the morning and we look at the mirror? What do we see? Mm-hmm. And how do we perceive who we are?
Yeah. How we perceive who we are is a really important thing. I know personally, you were saying that you get up in the morning, you see an old lady in the
sometimes,
mirror.
Sometimes, yeah. So,
and then other times, what happens?
Other times I get up and I see a smiley face and bright eyes and figure I can tackle anything that comes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that split there. What about you, Rebecca?
My self-perception, it varies. It depends on my mood. Mm-hmm. It depends on my my cycle, depends on a lot of factors. It's so varied. You know, mm-hmm. I would like to have a more consistent self-perception,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we all have that kind of varied.
Well, yeah, I think it's consistent in its vacillating in its inconsistency. Because I look at myself in the mirror and every morning and I'm like, OMG, you know, there's an old lady looking at me. There's an old lady in my mirror. And then I get out and people say, oh, my gosh, you look so good.
And
your skin is so beautiful. And I'm thinking, oh, what is up with that? Yeah. I don't get it. So it just so happens that this morning, it was interesting that Pam came up with this, because this morning I was talking with someone with whom I work, one of my little ones. And he was having a really hard time because he was afraid. His business was failing. And he had run the numbers with his accountant and found that he had to come up with 700 more customers a month in order to make things work in his business. And he was freaked out and depressed and sad and all this other kind of stuff. And I thought, geez, isn't that interesting? And we talked a little more. And as we talked, this other part of him popped out. And the other part was like, well, you know, whenever this has happened in the past, it's always been fine. I mean, his voice was different. His cadence was different of his voice. And I said, can you see any difference between these two parts? And he was really surprised because he did see it. It's very subtle. And that's the thing that was so great about what you said, Pam. We all have that. We all have all these different parts. And they're usually pretty imperceptible when you go from one to the next. So he called, or I actually called him, he had texted me, and he's all upset, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and the sky is falling, and blah, 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 blah. And I called him, and this little kid answered the phone. I can't do it. I can't. My business is falling apart, and I don't know what to do, and I'm not going to have enough clients, and la, 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 la. And then just a few minutes later, well, you know, when this happened before, blah, 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 blah. And if you start mm-hmm. paying attention to that, the first one that I just mimicked was a little kid. And it was a little kid who was not, in this person's case, was not taught how to take care of himself properly. His parents mm-hmm. did everything for him. Mm-hmm. So he was very afraid of really anything that presented any kind of a challenge to him. But he has an adult. And the adult is like, well, yeah, I know how to do this and I know how to do that. But the adult can never really understand why he tries X, Y, and Z, or starts X, Y, and Z with confidence, and down the line ABC shows up and doesn't understand why the difficulty has shown up in his life. And it's shown up in your life because some little young parts of you are functioning just as strongly as your adult. Mm. So if you start to take a look at things that way, it does make quite a bit of difference. I had one other thing to say, and that is, I've mentioned this before, I think, or at least I've talked to my friends about it, because it always amazes me when this happens, but it's not really that amazing. It's just that we're not accustomed to it. Over Christmas, I was experiencing fewer clients, and I thought, uh-oh, this isn't good, you know? And I was feeling minor panicky, very minor, because I know that I'm taken care of. I know that I'm fine. As it turns out, I needed the break. Mm. Desperately needed to have the exact amount of people that I had. And that exact amount of people took care of all of my bills, everything I needed to take care of. It was 100% fine. And actually, it was great that I had less people to work with than normal. And then as my life circumstances changed, I got more energy. Now it's flush again. So what I realized, and I've been taught this before, I've been shown this before, what I realized is that when you when your human fears and doubts are finally composted, if you will, then I, you know how I am. Whatever it is that's making life happen can provide for you whatever it is that you need. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't listen to the show very often and you're listening to this, it might sound a little lofty. Well, I'm not very lofty, right, girls?
Mm.
You
kind of
know I'm not. Right. I really am not very lofty. I'm speaking from personal experience. And that is what I'm teaching. I say to people, I'm actually teaching you how to get home, quote unquote home. And home to me means that you are aware of that interaction, that partnership you have with what I call whatever grows the plants. What we're taught is the opposite of that. We're taught that that's a crazy woo-woo thing. And, you know, other people... We talked about religion and the way religion looks at that aspect of life, what I call it, whatever grows the plants. People call God and spirit and source and the universe and all of those words, which are fine. But I don't really resonate, or I don't even like that word, but I don't get that well. But I do, as I always say, know something's growing the plants. And not only is whatever that is taking care of us in some kind of strange, inexplicable way, but we are an aspect of whatever it is that grows those plants. You know, I talk about us not being solid according to quantum physics, nothing solid on the planet. So, you know, and I'm reiterating, so if you listen a lot, you know that I repeat myself, which is how humans learn, by rote, constantly repeating, which is what I do. What has happened to me is that I have had the experience of having less business when I need to have less business and more business when I need to have more business, because I am in conscious partnership with whatever it is that makes life happen. And it's frigging awesome, because I don't really worry. I don't have to worry about anything now that I understand how taken care of I am.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments from the peanut gallery over here?
Yes. Great. I like the term composting that you use. I've told you, but you know, I might as well tell, you know, the rest of the county,
okay.
You know, I'm seeing a therapist now.
Uh-huh.
Never have in my life,
yeah,
but you know, it took me moving thousands of miles away from home, start seeing a therapist. And so I'm now starting to really compost. You know, those things are coming up, you know, that I've kind of like pushed down, you know, my past fears and even childhood stuff, you know, and when I first went, when I did my first session, we talked about a lot of things just that have recently happened that are bubbling up. And so I I realize how little composting I really have done, you know, in my life. And that little kid, you know, has kind of just been in there and kind of just been muted and hadn't had the chance to, you know, do whatever, you know, and let those things out, you know, because the adult needs to, you know, take control and, you know, and not really composting those fears, the pain. And that does shape how I see myself. And a lot of the times how I see myself is just incapable or, you know, not able, not intelligent enough to do something or, you know, just viewing myself as less than, you know, and that happens more often than not. And even though, and when I'm in a really bad mood, you know, or a sad mood, it's even worse.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm in a good mood and I'm feeling good, you know, it's easier, you know, to be able to feel like I can do things. That adult is like, okay, let's do it. But when I don't compost, you know, those fears and things, you know, I get in a really depressive state. And I'm coming out of a depressive state during the winter. Well, actually, the past two or three months, I was just like in this, you know, total funk, this cloud. And, you know, food is my,
right,
you know, so, my go-to. That was my therapist for all of my life, really. I consulted French fries and Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Session.
Yeah, Ben and Jerry's. We had lots of sessions. It was great. Yeah, they helped me out. Well, maybe not really. They told me what I wanted to know.
They got you to the point of wanting to go somewhere else. Yeah. So they served their purpose.
They served their purpose to get to
the help that you're getting now.
Because I looked at myself, I'm like, oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
I've gained so much weight.
You know what? Hold on a second. I really want to address that because people beat themselves up. And I know you're itching to talk, Pam.
But that's okay.
Okay. You're cracking.
So. I like what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Well, I'm trying to think of what I was going to say. Hey, doggone it. You were talking about ice cream. Oh, and beating yourself up, punishing yourself like you were just doing basically kind of Ben and Jerry's and the French fries. And the thing about it is that what is possible to learn is that, okay, so you beat yourself up. That's just fine. And the beating yourself up and what you're beating yourself up about ultimately will get you to the whatever solution it is that you finally come to, which is what you've done. My whole thing is you are who you are, you feel what you feel. Mm-hmm. And once you start to really understand that or allow that, it really does shift things for you. Okay, Pam, what were you going to say?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
When we get up and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see ourselves as one thing, maybe it's a negative thing, like me. I see all the gray hairs and all the wrinkles and I'm feeling very old. Another day I might come up and I might not see that same thing. Are we beating ourselves up when we see ourselves in that negative way? Is that a type of beating ourselves up when we look at ourselves and see this person that maybe we're not really that person? We're just that person in our thoughts.
How does it feel when you do that?
It feels kind of down to me. When I look at myself in the mirror and I see that, I'm thinking, well, you know, other people like you said, they come up to you and you say, oh, you look great today.
Right.
You know, and yet when I looked at myself in the mirror, I didn't feel great.
Right.
I didn't see myself, right? What I was feeling was more than what I saw in that mirror, as how I felt about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a type of beating ourselves up?
I would say, well, what do you think?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think when you get up and look at yourself in the mirror and find everything that's wrong,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a type of beating yourself up.
And what do you think about go ahead. What were you going to say, Rebecca?
It was more of a question.
Okay.
But I actually want to hear the answer to the question you
were
just asking.
Well, I'm going to take her down a rabbit hole, so go ahead.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let me just ask my question. I'll let you guys go. Then my question is, you know, when we're looking in the mirror and, you know, we're seeing having these negative, you know, thoughts and perceptions, like where did those come from? Are we comparing ourselves to something? What are we comparing ourselves to? Or if it's not a comparison, then where did that start? Right. Is that a natural human thing, or is that something learned to look at ourselves and have, you know, these negative feelings, these perceptions that are, you know what they are? You know?
Okay. So here's what I see. I think that there is a benefit to the negative feelings and the negative perception. And I think the benefit is to the people who want to control large groups of people when they teach us that you're supposed to look like this instead of looking like you do. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to look like that or have this or that instead of what you have. Then there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. You're not enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's taught straight through the generations. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a reason that that's happening. This is what I was talking with my client this morning about, that we are taught to feel really bad about ourselves, and we're done. It's very, it's insidious. It's very subtle, mm-hmm. the way that we're taught that. Just what you're saying right now, is that learned or whatever? Well, if you go look on TV, or any commercials, you're going to see some real skinny, gorgeous 19-year-old girls, 16-year-old girls modeling, mm-hmm. and you haven't looked like that in a long time.
That is the perception of beauty.
That's
desire.
The perception of beauty. Is somebody who's really young. Now, I totally get it. I understand that they're really beautiful, but you start to kind of understand that if we were living by different standards, we would all be considered to be as beautiful as somebody that age is, but our standards dictate that they're beautiful, and anything that's less than that or not that is not as good as. Mm-hmm. And again, as I'm saying, I really feel that this is all done by design. There's a benefit to making people feel negatively, because those negative feelings go out and bring more negativity into your life. And the more negativity you have in your life, the more difficult and depressed you're going to be. Difficult life is, and depressed you're going to be, which will cause you to do things that'll take you right off your center, if you will. And when you're not centered and clear, you're even more malleable than you were at birth, say. You know, you are controllable when you are not in your skin, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to this person this morning, and they've got this thing with ketamine. I don't know if you all know what that is.
Can you explain it a little bit?
I can't explain it because I can't even smoke pot. I can't do weed. I can't do anything. But I know that it's a drug. I don't know exactly what it is. There are people, I'm sure, who can call, but I know it's kind of gnarly. It's a strong drug. And he was taking that. And he knows that even though he's taking it, it feels terrible to him. Now, this guy runs a business. He's very astute, very intelligent, very talented. He's a really cool guy. But his kids take ketamine. The little kids in there inside of him who are afraid of everything, he freaks out and he takes that. So I said to him, I said, why do you think we have drugs in the first place? Why do you think they're available to us? You know, you think of the drugs in the streets, maybe, or in the lower income areas, mm-hmm. where that's the way kids make money or whatever. But mm-hmm. I think that if you think about it, drugs will get you way out of your skin. They take you to a nice fantasy land that helps you cope with the negativity that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So the negativity is bred here, is taught here by, I think, those who want to control things. And then you've got some nice drugs to help you cope with that keep you even further away from yourself than anything else. Mm-hmm. Now, is this a bad thing? No. I don't think any of it is bad or good. It's part of your experience on Earth. So you decide which experience you want to have. That's how I look at it. So mm-hmm. if there are groups of people, I say this all the time, who want to control other groups of people, well, then have fun doing that. Whatever you want to do, you do it. If there's some people who aren't really excited about living in that pain or difficulty or controlled environment, they can choose to perhaps look at life in a different way, which mm-hmm. is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
When I went on Medicare, I got myself on list for old people. I get these robocalls that come in. Oh, you need this back brace. Oh, you need this walk-in bathtub. You need this medical alert system. And that goes hand in hand with what you're saying, that as soon as you get into a certain position, then you're bombarded by society that, well, this is you. You know, you need all these things. You couldn't possibly live without this cane or this back brace or right. all of these things because you're on Medicare, so that means you're old, so that means you need all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's the same with the young models on the TV to make everybody think, well, that's what I should look like, right? That's what I should be, that person. But then when you get into my age group, it's the opposite. Oh, no, you're old, so you need all these old people's things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's society. And I mean by society, I'm not going to pinpoint any piece of society. But this is what we're being told about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know sometimes, like I said, I wake up in the morning and that's what I see. But then other times, I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to figure out why there's this
difference between when you feel good about yourself and you don't feel good about
yes.
yourself. Yes. Okay, so let me give you a little example. Go ahead. Oh, okay.
No, I'm ready.
She knows
I'm
how
listening.
I am. I tell a lot of stories.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me say, is there anything about hold on a second. The views expressed on this show are those of the speaker or speakers only and are not necessarily those of our KVMR. Those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. Just wanted to let you know that. My name is Sienna Gold. By the way, this show is called Down to Earth. And I'm here with my perpetual guests, Rebecca and Pam, my girls, and the mystery engineer who will remain unnamed. All right. So what was I talking about? What did you say, Pam, what did you say?
Well, about society putting us in categories.
Well, I think what you were about to comment on is like how, like why at one time you see yourself in a certain way
oh.
and it's uplifting.
Okay,
and the other.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, here it is. So, I am in the process of moving. And I found a place immediately because whatever it is that grows plants takes care of me and it's wonderful. But I wasn't feeling good about it because the interaction I was having with the landlord was not a happy thing for me. Mm. What I thought was happening, and I do believe what was happening, was that my little one, who was accustomed to having a hard time with men because my good dear old dad, as if you listen to the show, you know that he was kind of a piece of work, scared the crap out of me. So I have, through my life, brought in the experience of dealing with men who don't treat me well, who are disrespectful of me, who scare me, you know, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And just to, Rebecca, could you remember what I just said, both of you, because I want to just go off for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that what I'm telling people is that your feelings go out and bring experiences in, that your feelings are the most important part of your life because they determine what it is that's going to happen to you, positive and negative feelings. Okay, I deal with people's negative feelings. So where was I about...
You were just describing the little girl inside that was shaped by...
That was bringing in the negative experiences mm-hmm. from the dad. All right, so my existing landlord has, even though I really like him a lot, has not paid a lot of attention to the place, and I've been afraid to say anything because of exactly what it is that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So now I've got this new one that I'm dealing with, and he and I have gone back and forth on a couple of things, and I felt super uncomfortable with him. And from that discomfort, you know, I talked to some of my friends, that sort of thing, and I decided, you know what? I don't want to have to deal with somebody that I feel this uncomfortable about. So mm-hmm. I let him know a couple of days ago, might have been yesterday, that I was not going to be taking the place. And he was really good about it. And he made the assumption that I couldn't afford it. And we talked and talked. And finally, which has actually happened with us before, after about an hour, maybe 40 minutes of talking, I told him the truth of what was going on with me. And it turns out that the way that I perceived him was partially true, very minimally. But there was a whole other part of him that was interacting with me that I reacted to from my fear. And I had decided at that time, I was standing up, I'm not taking this place. I'm not going to deal with somebody who makes me feel this way. And as I talked to him, I felt better and better and better. Okay, I am going to take the place. Now, before I had this talk with him, he had done a couple of things that made me nervous because he tends to change his mind, and I understand why now. And I thought he had changed his mind and he wasn't going to get hold, you know, wasn't going to let me have the place and blah, 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 blah. And this is where I was going with what it is that you were saying, Pam. I got really down. And you saw me when I was down, Rebecca. I'm not down very often. I just love life and am really happy generally. You know, I always have my two things that I wish I had more of. That I wish I had, but basically I'm really, 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 really good. I'm happy and I'm amazed at how awesome life is and how well cared for I am. So when I feel this down, I honestly, because I was so down, I didn't really know how to handle it. I didn't know what to do with it. And I'm hearing in my head, well, you deal with people all the time. Why don't you do it with them? What you do with yourself, what you do with them? So I did. And I let myself feel the feelings and blah, 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 and paid attention where I wasn't feeling the feelings. Remember, it's not about making yourself feel the feelings. It's about paying attention to how you handle them. Mm-hmm. Either you might feel those feelings and then immediately suppress them, which is fine, because ultimately you want to get the suppression composted and the feelings themselves composted. So I was feeling into it and paying attention to where I was so confused about it all that I wasn't feeling anything. Well, after a while, I just said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to move in. Went and talked to the guy. I feel good. Woo! I'm back.
Love it.
It's like the whole thing lifted. So when you're talking about not feeling that great, you might want to take a look at other influences in your life. Because you just don't know what's hitting you. You don't know what, you know, it's that displaced anger. You're really angry about one thing. You're angry about one thing and you take it out on this, that, or the other thing. It's that same kind of thing. So okay. I don't know if that helps at all.
That answered my question. Yes.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So, yeah. By the way, if you want to call in, it is 530-265. Is that a 9? 555. I should know this by now. It's only been 8 years. Gosh.
It's once a month, though, you know.
It's once a month. We're talking about perception of yourself, and we can talk about anything else. You know, I used to get a lot of calls with people, excuse me, with their issues, and I take a look at them for them. I don't get those very much anymore. Hmm. I think people are mostly maybe just listening to what our subject matter is. These days. Yeah. Anybody else have any comments?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I as I'm going through this process of, you know, composting things and like really like facing things that I've kind of like just pushed down, I'm also learning how to I'm going to use the term be present, but it's like what you were saying, sitting with the feeling and the emotion or whatever it is.
Or paying attention where you don't.
Paying attention or, yeah.
Okay.
And being present and just sitting. And I'm realizing that, I'm realizing another thing is that it even goes deeper than just, you know, what we've seen or what those people that are trying to control or, you know, take in on the mantle of controlling our perception. It also starts, you know, as children, you know, and how, you know, we are raised, you know, in our family dynamic, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of the things that, a lot of the ways that I see myself, you know, were born from that, you know, and how I interacted with my parents, how my parents interacted with me and interacted with other people, you know, around me. And then it has shaped my perception. And I remember specifically, you know, how self-aware I am about my body and, you know, how I look. I remember my mom, you know, teaching me and telling me, you know, you don't wear this, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, you need to, when you leave the house, you need to make sure you're looking like this, mm-hmm. you know, or looking like that, you know, and I just, I know that that's how it's shaped, you know, how I see myself. Mm-hmm. And there's so many layers to self-perception. I am trying to just be okay with not knowing, like having the right solution. But the one thing that has been helpful is just practicing being present, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's meditation. And I know that's the thing where,
you know, okay, but go on. There's a reason I stopped that, but go on.
Whether it's meditation or just sitting and just, or whenever I'm doing anything, just being here.
Right.
Like being present, yeah. you know, and aware has helped, you know, it has really helped.
So here's the deal. Did you have anything? Go ahead, because I want to remember.
Just one thing on that is the being present. It's really hard sometimes.
Oh, it's like almost right. impossible for me, but
because you have to look at that thing that you really
that you don't look at
that you don't look at.
Hello,
right?
Yeah. Right. Well, go ahead. Well, that's what that's what I was about to say. Depending on where you are in your life, okay. The people that I work with, the reason I say no meditating is because they've been meditating for 2,000 years already. They're meditating every day. They're doing Vipassana for a week or whatever amount of time. They're not saying anything and, you know, letting their thoughts pass through and doing all that stuff, which is all fine and good. But then they finally do realize that, wait, you know, something is still missing here. So if you've done a bunch of work on yourself and you're finding that something is still missing, you've gone through what you're talking about. You've mm-hmm. gone through you're doing therapy in groups, and you know, you've done your ayahuasca and you've done your meditating and the books and the classes and the workshops and the this and the that, and you're still stuck. That's when I talk to people. That's when I can have the greatest influence, because I fine tune what you've already gone through. So what you're doing is fantastic. You're at an early stage in your self-discovery, mm-hmm. okay? And, yeah. you know, whatever it is that you're doing is wonderful. Just the fact that you're becoming aware of yourself, you know, you can do the composting if you want, but you don't even have to worry about that. That's not the deal. The deal is, who am I? How do I feel? What have I buried? That's the value for you right this minute.
So then, so explain the composting. Cause
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take a breath. Yeah. I'm taking a breath. Oh, this hour's gone very quickly. All right. So, you know, when you compost, you have regular composting. You've got a pail or whatever full of dirt, and you throw in an apple core and a banana peel, and what's the other one? Orange peel. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you put the lid on. And you leave it for a few weeks or however amount of time, and then you take it out and you've got this, take the lid off, and you've got this thick, rich soil that's good to nourish your other plants, okay? But you don't necessarily see a full orange peel or a full apple core or a full banana peel in there anymore, but the energy of those things are in the compost, mm-hmm. okay? So let's say that the apple core is fear. The banana peel is, I have no worth. And the, what was the other one I
orange.
Said? What did I say? Oh, I always forget that one. The orange peel is...
trauma?
Well, these are all traumatizing. Fear, anger.
Anger.
What were you going to say?
Pain.
Yeah. Well, they're all pain.
They're all pain.
Anger. Okay. So we're composting those. in what it is that I'm doing. Oh, and let's add another one. Let's add some ends to the cucumber, and that is I don't want to feel any of that stuff. I refuse to feel it. Okay, that's something I'm going to start saying. I will not feel my pain. Okay, so we're composting all of that. That means that the pain, the fear that you have, and the anger that you have, and the low self-worth that you have, and the fact that you don't want to deal with any of that, are all equal. They get to be there. Why? Because they're there. And when you compost all of those, which turns out to be integrating at the end of the day, you don't do the integrating any more than you did the composting. Mm-hmm. You don't do the composting. Whatever it is that grows those plants composts those vegetables and fruits, okay? You don't do the composting. You do the feeling. You feel the fear. You feel the anger. You feel the low self-worth. And you feel, I don't want to see any of that. I'm not interested in it. All of those are part of the equation and part of your experience here on Earth. Now, along with all of that, remember, this is a game. That's how I see it. We're in a game. According to quantum physics, nothing is solid. If that means something to somebody else, please give me a call and tell me that I'm crazy. But if I'm hearing that something is not solid, I'm feeling that there's kind of some sort of an illusionary thing going on this planet. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of illusion happening. I don't understand it, and I don't really care. All I do know is that, did you have something to say, Pam?
Oh, I was just going to give you an example of what
Give me an example.
All right. I used to work in stained glass. And the first thing that I was told was that glass is not solid. It's a liquid. And when you make big windows, you have to brace them. And that's why you see a lot of stained glass windows will have a lot of bracing in it, because glass, basically, is a liquid. And it will flow if you don't brace it. So that's like an example of what you're saying,
right,
of things, you know, if they're not solid, they can move.
Right. And so, yeah. So things aren't solid here. When we die, our bodies can't move anymore. Yet, and so we're gone. The part of us that's inside this body is gone. And, you know, there's the grieving and everything for the people who are left behind, which I totally get and experience myself. But then in my personal experience, which sounds kind of weird, but I know that people who have passed are running around because I can hear them and feel them, mm-hmm, which is really, really weird for somebody who's kind of, I mean, my show's called Down to Earth, so I'm nuts and bolts. And I've got people without bodies talking to me, which is a very strange thing. Okay, so none of it makes any sense. I'm not going to say that the way that we're feeling and the pain that we're in, I'm not making light of it in any stretch of the imagination. I'm saying, yeah, that's real for who it is that you are right now, the same way as death is real for who it is that you are right now, for the way it is that you see life. That stuff is real. But at the end of the day, there's a whole other way of looking at this experience, mm-hmm, that doesn't have anything to do with what we're taught. Okay, there's no finality here. I have no idea what that even means, but I know that there's something else going on. I have to look at myself and the way that I look at life and the way that I can talk to people and know what they're thinking or feeling and know what their friends are feeling and see what they've gone through in their lives. And I have no idea how that happens. I don't feel fear of it. My whole family has it. My mom's mom had it, was like this. My dad, which is a different family, he was like this. And so it's been my grandmother, I said that, and my mom, that's what I meant to say. We all had it. And of course, the family was freaked out by it. Very Christian family, and just not really understanding any of this ability and not acknowledging it. It's not a good thing. Well, why is it not a good thing? When I feel very strongly that we all have it. I've talked about this before. We all have this. We all have what I have. It's just that we are conditioned to ignore it or not develop it, or that it's a bad thing. There's something wrong with it. I can't see that as being true, given what it is that I offer and how dramatically and how incredibly different people feel, how their lives shift from talking, from working, from our work, how much happier they are, how much more clearly they see themselves and how much more clearly they see how life works. It can't be a bad thing that I have, that I offer. Mm-hmm. And I see people being more and more intuitive themselves. So I have to categorize all of that right along with, you're not pretty enough. You're not enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough money. You're the wrong color. You're the wrong age. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that was really good, by the way. I have one more. I hate to go back to the composting.
Why?
Is there a difference between... So what I got gleaned from the example of the composting that you gave, which is great, is that, you know, our energy bodies or our bodies would be like the pail. And then those pieces that we put in, that, you know, that you put into the pail, the orange and all, the apple and all, would be what you said, like the feelings, the anger and all that. And then the composting itself would happen, you know, regardless of what we do, because we don't do the composting. The composting happens from, you know, whatever grows the plants, as you say.
Okay, so you missed one thing.
Did I?
The composting happens when you feel your feelings.
Okay.
That's your job.
Got it. So that's our part, is feeling the feelings.
And that's the feeling of, I don't want to feel my friggin' feelings. That's one feeling. Mm-hmm. I'm scared. I'm angry. I don't want to feel it. It's paying attention to how it is that you operate. So when you say it's really hard for me to be present, that's where I would be putting my focus. I wouldn't be putting my focus in, yeah, I'm going to be present, I'm going to be present, I'm present, I'm present, I'm present, I'm present, and you're not, you're not present.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where it's like, oh, okay, so right. I can't even stay here for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just how you are. And then if you beat yourself up for not being present, then that's just how you are. Mm-hmm. That gives you a chance to see how you beat yourself up. You get a chance to see how you're not present. You get a chance to see how you beat yourself up. You get a chance to see how you feel about something, like the depression or the anger or the frustration or the I'm not good enough or whatever, and you get to see how you handle that. So you get a chance to experience that feeling, and you get a chance to experience the feeling of, I'm not going to, you know, whatever it is that you do. You drink, you eat, you watch porn, you smoke, you do whatever it is that you do to not do those feelings. You just start paying attention to mm-hmm. that when mm-hmm. you wake back up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, I didn't even remember not paying attention to that anymore. I don't remember, you know, not doing what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are who you are. And see, when you're in the stages that you're in, which is really great, you're just learning. You're just seeing who you are. Mm-hmm. And just that's your job right now. That's your job. How do I really feel? And how have I suppressed? Wow, I was going through this when I was a little kid. Whoa, I remember doing this when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not until you do this for a while and try all the different modalities, which I know you are in the process of doing or have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've done a lot.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, time for fine tuning. That's when I pop in and say, okay, this is the deeper part of what you discovered in your work. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All the people I work with have done so much work, and we always go to like the root of what it is that they have discovered for themselves. They can usually have gotten peripherally and peripheral information about what it is that they're feeling, and they are have done so much work that it's like, yeah, yeah, I know I hate my dad, or I know I blah blah blah. And then we get to the feeling that caused you to hate your dad in the first place. That's where we go.
Deep.
That feeling, that root feeling. That's what really gets the integration going. And that's really hard to do and to get to. And that's what I feel. I feel that root. That's what I how I work. Yeah.
When I was little, my father abandoned me. Or at least that's what I thought. But he left and never came back for 18 years. And I never saw him, heard of him, anything like that. I really thought that all men were going to do that. Because that was from my childhood. And
right.
I really felt it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see now why when we look back at it. And I had a lot of anger.
Right.
But this last June, I went up and visited him.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that none of that was there anymore. And it was because once I realized that that's what I was feeling,
mm-hmm.
I could see it.
You know, that's a really important word, and we're just about out of time, is realization. This is not, in this life, what I see is that it's not about healing yourself. We did a show about that.
Yes.
I think the healing is appropriate depending on what stage you're in of discovery. But at the end of the day, you're not wounded. And that, when I say I'm talking to you behind your eyeballs, that's who I'm talking to. You are not wounded. You're moving this body around, this car around, and you've bought into the human experience. You've forgotten who you are, which sounds kind of woo-woo. I know. But that's, I mean,
it's true. It's true.
Right?
Yes.
And so you are not wounded. You're having an experience that was difficult and painful in your human childhood, and now it's time to look at it with a different perspective.
Yes.
That's when the real composting happens.
I like that.
We are out of time. My name is Sienna Gold, and this show is called Down to Earth. We are on every third Monday of the month. We might not be on next month. I think they might be having a drive. I'm not sure. But if we are on, it would be October the 14th. October 14th is our next show. October 14th? Yeah. Okay. And we will be on? Yeah. Okay. We just got the word from the mystery engineer that we will actually be on October 14th. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Rebecca. And thank you, Pam, so much for being here. My girls and the mystery engineer.
Yeah.
See you in a month.